Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Bundy!
Hey, Bundy!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. And you, getting close to it. Celebration weekend, spring game weekend. And we'll give you a how many of you are going Saturday update in a moment. Busy show. Good show for you today. We aim to please on Hail Varsity Radio. We'll get caught up with the Bleacher Reports. Lars Anderson, native Lincolnite. Lars going to be with us in 15 minutes. Get his thoughts on Nebraska spring football. And Lars did a just phenomenal story on a number of the Sudanese refugees that have found their way to Omaha and how basketball has not only saved some kids, but obviously they're thriving. So Lars will tell you about his just most recent story in Bleacher Report, and it's Nebraska-centered, not only football, but also from a basketball perspective with in-state prospects. So Lars Anderson in 15 minutes, former Husker defensive tackle, Green Bay Packer, and he does everything. Steve Warren, Dream Foundation Weekend, Big Dreams Weekend for Steve and his nonprofit that helps with mentoring and athletics and academics. So Steve Warren will join us in 1 hour. He'll get you caught up on what's going on with Dream this weekend. And also his thoughts, not only on Nebraska and Mick Stoltenberg, but also Nebraska recruiting the state of Missouri. Steve from the state of Missouri, one of those talented kids that got out of the Show Me State, found his way to Lincoln, was all Big 12, went to the NFL, part of that 1999 last conference championship team. But Steve has close ties down in the state of Missouri. We'll get his thoughts on Nebraska recruiting, not only the state of Nebraska, but the state of Missouri. Eddie Janovich, your favorite Bronco, is going to be with us at 525. Eddie Janovich will join us. Jano will be at the locker room Saturday morning, 9 to 11:56th and Highway 2, doing some autograph stuff. And if you're coming into Lincoln, go see Jano. He won't break your face mask. He'll smile and sign for you. Teej, have you ever had your face mask busted?
Did not, no.
Not even accidentally? By one of those big, ugly defensive linemen?
No, I only played 1 year of padded football, so the opportunities were limited, but yeah. I did not.
Okay, I was waiting for you to go. Well, I was just too quick, and no one could get me.
Not quite.
Okay, well, lie to me. Hey, here's the update from Brian Rosenthal, a GBR Rosenthal. Brian, a good dude. 70,000 spring game tickets sold. The record's 81. Let me ask you, do we get there?
Was that the first year of the Callahan? Is that?
It might have been. I want to say that the place was a, you know, a fire code violation year one of Bobby Newcomb. I remember that. That was Frank's first year, 98. And Bobby went 93 yards on an option keep.
Nice.
It was sweet. My roommates from South Dakota still talk about that like it was for the national championship or something. Yeah.
And that's a spring moment that had lasting impact because he was, you know, pretty good.
He was really good, and then he was great when he moved away from quarterback. And he was not bad at quarterback. He just got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So spring game's special to me, okay? I'm going to go down the list here as to why. Not only is it football, but back in 02, I went to the spring game with my dad, and it was raining. And there were still about 40 or 45,000 of you there. It was all good. Tried to sit underneath the East Stadium overhang. We weren't there in time. And I just sat down and talked to my dad, kind of man to man. I'd been with my girlfriend, I think, for 6 or 7 years. And I'm that guy.
Who is your wife, right?
Who's my wife.
Okay.
But she had been my girlfriend since high school. And I'm like, you know, Dad, I think I really want to marry her. He kind of stopped and looked at me, and this was I think after Jamal Lord incompletion, this is post-national championship.
Oh boy.
I love Jamal.
Me too.
And I'm like, I think I want to marry her. And I was expecting some sort of quiz or, are you sure? And now he's like, well, hell, it's about time is what I got from him. So the spring game is like, I said, okay, this is like, all right, you graduate high school, you're out of college, you're working 40 different gigs and staying part-time in radio, but you want to get married. Okay, sure, let's get it handled. And the rest is kind of history until I had a chance to go work in South Dakota. Was there for a year while we were engaged. The proposal went fine. The I'm moving to South Dakota to get better at radio did not go fine, but we stayed engaged. And a year later, I moved back.
There you go.
Okay. So the spring game, around the spring game, it was just weird like that. My brother just moved back from Texas. Now he's in the state of Nebraska. Him and his kids maybe going to be down for the spring game. And to kind of wrap this all up to what Saturday kind of reminds me of, I think Coach Riley probably feels like he's moving back home. I don't mean to Oregon. I mean to a passing quarterback that he's comfortable with. And that's not to say that he was, dear God, I got Tommy. No. But I'm saying his offense, his fit, his expertise. And I think that's pretty evident in some of the comments he made to Tom Dienhart, Big Ten Network. And I can get caught up on it at BTN or with Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity. In his hot reads, it's called A New Beginning. That's kind of a Star Wars title.
Mm-hmm, that is.
It's all good. But it kind of feels like that. And with the quarterback set up, Riley probably feels, all right, the last couple of years I've been in a nice new area, learned a lot. It's a cool city, so to speak. Madison, South Dakota, not quite a city, but it was a good little town. Now I'm back home. Now I'm familiar. And that's kind of how I think he's probably approaching this. Now, there are some questions here with the Q&A that I want to get into specifically. The expectation question, is this where you thought you'd be going into your third year in Lincoln? Well, what do you think as a Nebraska fan? Do you think Nebraska would be where they're at right now going into that third year? And listen, year three's still technically months away. But this is part of that stepping stone to kind of organize and get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at year one with how they ended, bowl game, Michigan State, the Iowa game that they gave. Year one, after it was all said and done, didn't feel as bad. I mean, the losses to a couple of the teams were awful, but you were in every game.
Mm-hmm.
Last year seemed better on its face, but then you got dismantled and you limped down the finish.
Yep.
So I think you kind of come happy medium in year three if a lot of things work out for you. And you've taken on a major load on your back with you are transitioning at quarterback, but it really isn't going to be a transition because this is old hat for Riley and Langsdorf stylistically. Defensively is the transition. There's a lot to prove, a lot to see, a lot of work to do, but I feel okay with the pieces there. Not only the personnel, but the guys leading the personnel. The homework will get done defensively. How good will they be? I don't know, but I'm not worried about looking at their body language against Iowa, wondering if they want to be out there. I won't see that again. So year three, I think 6-6 ain't going to be great. 9-4, if you hit that again with this schedule, means you lost some home games. But maybe you lost some home games to some really good football teams. Who knows? I'm anxious to turn the next page to this choose-your-own-adventure setting. But Riley's taken taking this in stride. And I think he loves the energy. He says as much. He likes what's been established culturally. And I think that's been enhanced a ton by Riley with the hiring of Diaco, because it's a motivational personality. I think that's what he was missing on his staff. You had a motivational type personality. I mean, I think you had that with Perella, but as a leader of one side of the ball, yeah, you have that and you need that. And you certainly get that with Diaco. He's a motivator. Guys want to play for him. So I think he feels good. But what he says in here from a goal is 70% completion percentage.
That is up there.
Hold on a minute.
That's a 20% jump from last season.
Iron Mike's throwing the gauntlet down. I can't even spit it out.
That is a huge jump, man. 20%. You completed as a team last year, 50%. Now you want to reach 70? I'd kill for 60 next season.
Well, let's talk about this for a minute. Back to the moving home thing. I cough so hard I'm seeing tracers. It's like I'm in a Pink Floyd video. This is great. Listen, you had some give and take. All right, we'll ask Tommy to hit 55 to 60% and knock his 8 interceptions down. He knocked the interceptions down. Completion percentage was around 51%, but he ran the ball pretty effectively. When he was not hurt, he ran it effectively. That made up for some completion percentage stuff, mm-hmm, I think.
Yeah.
Now you're losing the quarterback run game, and if you ask these guys to hit 70, that's not hoping they're at 60. That's mean get to 65%. That means fall short.
Yeah, but I mean, since the last 9 seasons, as Brandon reported, only 23 teams have hit the 70% mark. So at least a minimum, you got to be 60, I feel like, if you're losing the running aspect.
I don't think, yeah, but I think that's a fair marker.
Oh, for sure.
It's super excessive, but it's completely fair, mm-hmm, because of this offense. This offense allows for someone to be open and for you to just be smart with the ball, dump it down, move the chains.
Yep.
So that was part one of this Q&A with Tom Dienhart. The quarterback expectation, I liked that. The other part here is the dreaded, it wasn't hot seat, but pressure question by Dienhart. And here's what Riley was asked and answered. You're 15-11 overall, 9-8 in the Big Ten. You feeling any pressure leading a program that hasn't won a title since the Steve Warren era? No. One thing I have is perspective. I've been at it long enough to focus on the immediate. I know what they want here. They want to get one of those trophies back. It's kind of why I came. I have a more realistic viewpoint of what we need to do football-wise in the league with this team, and I have a better understanding of the recruiting we have to do and the level we have to recruit at. I know winning 5 games that first year wasn't exactly what the expectations needed to be or were. I think we did better, but we found out more what we have to do. So, again, this yellow brick road of year 3, I think he feels more at home based on the information he's got. Am I predicting awesomeness in 2017? No. Am I predicting that off of Saturday? No. But I'm looking at the accumulation of what you've made staff-wise, what you're trying to infuse culture-wise with Diaco's hiring, your comfort level and expectation and talent level at quarterback. I think things can be all right. And I think he thinks things will be okay. And he's getting what Saturday's about. And he's turned it into what Saban really kind of kicked things off with at Alabama. And Lars will catch up with him here in 5 minutes. But Bama was good, but underachieving, and then kind of in a rut. And then Saban showed up. They had 90,000 at spring day. And then there's Julio. I mean, you made this thing an event, and that's what Saturday's shift is. It's going to be the 50 kids that are 4 stars, mm-hmm, from 18 and 19 here on hand to see what it's all about. And it's going to be the Nebraska fans that are going to be showing up as it's at 70,000 sold out right now to show the folks that can maybe be difference makers on the field what the place is like. So Riley, I think, is pretty comfortable. I think he feels good about whatever quarterback direction he goes, and I think he feels good about the defense. He's not BSing Tom Deanhart in this Q&A. And overall, it's just been a learning process. I think the one guy in the state that isn't nervous or panicked about next year might be Mike Riley. And I'm sure Riley's got a damn good poker face, too. But I think he's like, no, this will be okay. I moved home. I've got a pro-style quarterback. We can run our offense, not without concerns on the offensive line, not without concerns about defensive transition. But he thinks after 2 years of, well, man, this is something I wasn't used to, but I adapted to my talent. That was hard. This is easy. This is old hat. We'll figure out a way. So a good Q&A there with Coach Riley and Tom Deanhart. And spring game, special weekend, and it'll feel more familiar to Riley and his guys with their offensive style that you'll see in a limited fashion. Lars Anderson is coming up. Bleacher Report, New York Times best-selling author. He'll join us next on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with senior writer with the Bleacher Report, Lars Anderson, New York Times bestselling author multiple times over. You follow him at LarsAnderson71, and you read him, of course, on the Bleacher Report. Lars, great to speak with you, man. How you doing?
Doing great, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing awesome. Spring ball's winding down for Nebraska. The spring game is Saturday. You went a number of times growing up. And I'm sure there's some excitement for you this weekend.
Yeah, I remember as a kid going to spring game and afterward getting autographs and just kind of get up close to the players when you're just a little kid and they seem so ginormous, and it's a great environment to bring your family to. And now just from the outside looking in at the Nebraska program, this is just such an important year for Mike Riley. Can't emphasize that enough. Year three, his system is placed, his players are in place, and of course, everybody wants to see how the quarterbacks perform. It looks as if Lee is going to be the guy. Early reports out of Lincoln, as you know, are very, very good. And now, again, it's going to be on Riley to make this offensive click and to get that offensive line shored up. But I know nationally there's a lot of a curiosity about Nebraska and whether or not Mike Riley can turn this thing around and make Nebraska relevant again. I actually pitched this story to my editors just the other day. It's like, you know, I would love to spend about a week to 10 days in Lincoln trying to answer that one question. Can Nebraska be relevant again the way Nebraska was in the 90s? And if so, what does Nebraska need to do to accomplish that? I think you could make the argument that no team, no school in the country has been hurt more by the proliferation of television than Nebraska. You know, Osborne used to be able to get recruits all over the country by saying, look, come here, you're going to be on national TV 3 or 4 times a year. No other school in the country can offer that except a handful. Now everybody's on national TV virtually every week. So what can Nebraska do to recapture that? I think this spring game is just, it'll be really, most spring games are vanilla and you can't divine too much from them. However, I think we'll be able to see just sort of where this offense is.
The spring game will be fantastic. It'll probably be the lesser of the scrimmages, obviously, but you know, you have the quarterbacks that are a talking point. You have Bob Diaco that's taken this defense by storm. And from an optimism standpoint, I mean, your schedule isn't great for Nebraska, but it's enough to change some minds, turn some heads nationally, perception wise. You know, the relevance thing you're talking about. And I think Nebraska can get there. It starts with quarterback play. You know that. Starts with your defense. Diaco's defense is where he's been, have been tremendous. And they look like they're settling in this transition quicker than expected. And that's kind of what Bob Diaco is, man. He's going to come in. He's going to lay it down. And he's going to teach you and coach you up. And that's been a really cool surprise. And part of this spring with that 3-4 switch. The other thing that, and you know about this from being around Alabama, what the spring game has become, it's become a showcase. It's a chance to show off, and Nebraska has just a number of top 250, top 150 kids on their own dime, unofficial of visits coming in this weekend. That's where Riley shifted things, and he's going to spend a ton of time with those kids this weekend, unofficially, him and his staff.
Yeah, you know, whenever you can get 60, 70, 80,000 fans to a spring game, it's real eye-opening to 17-year-old kids. I'll never forget when Nick Saban first came to Alabama in 2007. They had over 90,000 at Bryant-Denny Stadium, and you can make the argument that that was sort of the first sort of spark that had lit the fire of this dynasty at Alabama, was that initial spring game. And you know, it's the greatest asset of the Nebraska football program is its fans, and the spring game is the ultimate showcase of that.
And it'll be jumping for sure on Saturday. Going to have 70,000. Ticket number keeps going up and up and up. So a ton of folks will be there. And, of course, BTN will have it on later on in the afternoon. Lars, you do amazing work, and you know that. And your readers absolutely know that. And you spent time a while back in Omaha. And your story was published the 11th earlier this week. Refugee hoop dreams in the middle of Trump's America. Lars, you had a chance to visit Omaha, spend time with the Sudanese community, a number of kids that are prep stars and soon to be future prep stars. Tell us a little bit about your piece and why you chose to focus on Omaha, the Sudanese community, and basketball.
Yeah, just let me take you back a little bit. Several months ago, right before the Lawrence Phillips documentary came out on Showtime, which, as you know, I co-wrote, I was being interviewed by a reporter from the Omaha World Herald. He was doing a preview piece of the documentary. And I asked him at the end of our interview, you know, what's a good national story in Omaha that you can't write? Or, you know, that you've written and, you know, that you think could appeal to a wider audience. And he mentioned that this Sudanese population in Omaha and how there's a possibility that Nebraska could actually be transformed into a basketball state. And, of course, that piqued my interest right away and did some research and pitched the story to my editors at Bleacher Report, who at first they were like, yeah, you know, I just don't know if this is something that we want to pursue. And I pressed them, and finally they gave me the green light. And really what the story is about is how there are 15,000 Sudanese living in Omaha, which makes it the largest Sudanese population outside of Africa. And the majority came over in the 90s, fleeing this horrible civil war in Sudan and in now South Sudan. And there have been more casualties in this civil war than any other conflict since World War II, over 4 million. And so it's just a horrific situation over there in Sudan. And a lot of folks from Sudan settled in Omaha because they were attracted to the abundance of factory work and also the relatively affordable housing. And then, you know, once a few start coming, then an enclave forms and then more and more resettle. And so this was in the 90s, and now these people who came over had children. And now their children are growing up in Omaha, and they're reaching the junior high and high school. And it turns out that these children are very, very tall and very athletic. And, you know, we're talking like 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". And there's just been this one guy, Kwong Deloney, Everybody calls him KD. KD played basketball at Indiana State, and he was in that first wave of immigrants that came over in the 90s. He was, I believe, in just 5 or 6 years old. And now KD has opened up this basketball academy in Omaha called the Omaha Talon, and it's all for Sudanese kids. And, you know, this academy has already produced something like, I think, 15, 17, 18 Division I players. I think now there's over like sort of 40, I think it's in the story, but over 40 Sudanese kids or kids with Sudanese roots were on rosters on different high school teams in Omaha. The top player in the state, Ed Chang, is of Sudanese descent. And look, these as even second generation refugees, they have incredible problems. Most come from single parent homes. Most often, their moms work at night at a factory. Not a lot of money, and there is still trouble with assimilation. They've been targeted by different groups. And as a way to respond to that, gangs have formed within the Sudanese community. And so there are problems. But one sort of escape and salvation has been basketball. And that's what KD preaches to these kids. And so he gets them and gives them something positive to do. And this is the great thing about basketball. You know, it doesn't take a lot of money. You know, all you need is a ball and just find a hoop somewhere. And that's what these kids, like, they represent that sort of, you know, the grittiness of what basketball can be, and this is sort of the best of sports to me, is using sports to overcome the problems in your life, to make sure you stay out of bad situations. I mean, these kids will walk, like, hours to get to wherever they need to go to practice with KD. They'll take buses across town. They'll ride, you know, 5, 6, 7 in a beat-up car across town just to get there. I mean, transportation is a real issue because they don't necessarily have their own court, their own place to play. But I'm telling you, like, there is this sort of revolution coming in high school basketball in the state of Nebraska, and it all is going to be centered in Omaha, in South Omaha, where these Sudanese kids are living.
Lars, tremendous story on the Sudanese population, on the city of Omaha, and the state of Nebraska. Lars Anderson with his Bleacher Report, Hail Varsity Radio, at Lars Anderson 71. Lars, to wrap, you had a chance to get to Augusta this past weekend. How was it?
It was probably top three sporting events of my life, and I would say that even I walked the course on Wednesday when it was rained out. And even without players on the course, it was one of my favorite moments of my career in sports. And it just, I'm a big golfer, share the game with my dad, and some of my favorite moments with my dad involved watching the Masters or pretending, you know, when we're on the course together, pretending we're at the Masters. And just being there finally and seeing just how immaculate it is, how beautiful it is. I mean, you can't even find a pine cone on the ground. You can't. It's like they even keep the birds out and the squirrels out somehow. It is just a gorgeous, gorgeous place. And anybody who is a sports fan has got to be a bucket list destination. It certainly was for me. And it's almost like the golf was secondary because I just wanted to be at the place and feel it. And it was just again one of the top sporting experiences of my life.
Lars Anderson will have a story on his trip to the Masters. Please read his story on Refugee Hoop Dreams. It's Nebraska-focused and a lot of good info and thoughts on folks from Sudan that have come to the great state of Nebraska to better themselves. Lars, awesome work. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for a few minutes with us today on Hail Varsity.
All right, thanks, buddy. Thanks, Chris.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Lars Anderson and his story on the refugees and their relocation to Omaha and how basketball's been very important and prominent in their lives. Big thanks to Lars. Please read his story on Bleacher Report.
Great.
Lars just does it all, man. Steve Horn is coming up in about 20 minutes. The Big Dreams Weekend. Get Steve's thoughts on his protege, Mick Stoltenberg, at the nose. And also get Steve's thoughts on recruiting the state of his home state, of the state of Missouri. Big weekend for visitors. Andy Janovich, Gretna Dragon, Denver Bronco is going to be with us at 5:25.
I also hope Lars gets that idea he pitched to his editors about can Nebraska be as relevant as they were back in the 90s. That would be a very long story he could write.
It is. And here's the thing that we'll talk about Nebraska. We'll get in and kind of get a finalized list tomorrow from Aaron Sorensen. We'll give you an update on the offensive side of the ball here in a little bit. With some kids are watching practice now in town for the spring game. But relevancy is pretty easy to define. You're a conference champ, and if you win your conference, you have a chance at bigger and better things. And Nebraska is not so far gone, and I know it's been almost 20 years, sorry to mumble that, since you won the Big 12. But you've been in conference championship games, okay? You're still in that upper echelon of the blue blood name, even though your record may not say it. But if you're in that upper tier of the haves, it doesn't take you long, or it shouldn't take you long to get back.
Okay, 17 years, though?
No, but it's not like they've been 3-9 for 17 years.
No, agreed.
Okay.
But there's been times where you've been embarrassed in that conference championship game.
Sure, you've been embarrassed. And you've been embarrassed by what you used to do to people. Phenomenal write-up by Jesse Temple of ESPN on them Badgers. How Wisconsin just keeps doing what they do. You and Kranak hit on it about a month ago, that whole Badger envy. But it's the Nebraska way, where you see what your strength is in state. You get those kids to walk on, or you give a scholarship. You evaluate flawlessly, and you recruit the skill positions around it. It's what Devaney did. It's what T.O.'s done. It's what Barry did. And you don't wane from that. And where Wisconsin got into trouble was getting away. This is post-Bielema with Coach Anderson there, trying to recruit a higher-profile guy versus sticking to what's got you to 9-3 and being a tougher football team, and that's staying home and in-state. And that's kind of a fine line for Nebraska. You need in-state players because they love this place. It's their dream to play for Nebraska. And all they want to do is have a chance to get on the field and perform. We're going to talk to one here in about 40 minutes, Andy Janovich. He had options. He stayed at Nebraska and got himself a scholarship. So you look at the Wisconsin way of talent evaluation, development, really good coaching, and all of it really coming together through Alvarez because he learned from Devaney. And then you look at what Nebraska's identifying, again, back to Tom Dienhart and Riley's Q&A, identifying where we are in the conference division, where we're recruiting at right now, and where we need to recruit at in the future. Now, Saturday is a big-time blowout to get some of those difference makers. It's tough and as big and as strong and as developed as Wisconsin is with their walk-on kids that turn into J.J. Watt. That used to be Nebraska. Nebraska can't forget that. Mm-hmm. And they got a guy in Kenny Wilhite that knows the Nebraska way that's keeping an eye on in-state kids. But you can also there was a time where what the Nebraska way was getting beat by the Miamis and Florida States of the world, right? You were out-athleted.
Yeah.
So I think Riley's trying to mix and match where you out-athlete people with some skill guys on the coast or some skill guys you take in state, but you find a way to keep that Nebraska Midwest toughness and you blend it. You put it into a blender and there you go.
And I don't know my Wisconsin high school football well, but I'm assuming maybe like their high school football right now is what Nebraska's was maybe in the 90s, where their in-state talent is maybe better than Nebraska's right now.
No, I don't even know that maybe. Per a man is – I don't know that Wisconsin's got better high school football. I think Wisconsin just has more people. It's just more –
which will give you chances for more better athletes. It's more people.
It's just,
so I get
it's just,
that.
It's just more people. It's a population-based thing.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Nebraska's not – always gone in state. I mean, you kind of look at your regions around and count it as the radius. Mm-hmm. That's where you go get. Now, from a walk-on standpoint, yeah, you've typically always gone in state. You've had some extreme examples of guys hitchhiking here to play football at Nebraska back in the late 70s. But no, it just takes a blend here to get that perfect mixture. And you can't get too starstruck and high and mighty, okay? You can go get big-time athletes, guys that step on the field more college-ready physically, but are they more college-ready mentally? Have they tasted failure and can they respond from it? Because a lot of dudes, and it's not their fault, but they've been the best thing ever every level they've played at. So now when you transition to college and some dude from Illinois, and I know they won 3 games last year, beat your face in on 3rd and short, how do you respond to it? Well, the walk-on kid or the kid trying to earn a scholarship that his whole life has looked at his Nebraska pennant in his room, maybe they still have those, I don't know. Or he's looked at his screen and it's got, you know, Memorial Stadium on it there.
Yeah.
It's more in today's day and age.
Probably more likely.
More likely. It's like, man, I want to be that guy. I just want to run down on special teams. There's still kids like that there in the state of Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to be sought after a little bit and recognized. Talk to them. So Nebraska will need to keep bringing in the Andy Janoviches of the world, the blue-collar guys, to make the 4- and 5-star guys kind of get that culture. You can have phenomenal athletes that are NFL bodies, but they better have blue collar a part of their DNA. And that's where Wisconsin's won, and that's why they keep winning. I don't want to say they get lucky. They just are smarter and better than most at evaluation and development.
And development, yep.
And that's what it's. And I will say this. I mean, Riley and his staff, they've done that too. They've been really good at it. To coach as long as they have and as win as much as they did at Oregon State, they know how to develop. I think the part right now that's tricky is the amount of development, because I know it's year 3, but there's a lot of numbers, a lot of positives to choose from. Put it all to good use. We'll wind down hour 1 on Hail Varsity Radio.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Bird back in next week. Hopefully you caught him yesterday. Great thoughts on kind of the Diaco culture. You can catch the podcast if you missed that at HailVarsity.com, iTunes, or the ESPN 1480 app. Welcome to Dial Us Up. Can tap the line. Brought to you by your friends at Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Don't forget, at 5 o'clock, Moneyball. Your chance at a grand. Yeah, $1,000 at 5 o'clock. The 125K Moneyball. And your chance weekdays here with ESPN. 7 o'clock in the morning, 9 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon. And at 5, listen for that key word. When you hear the key word, text 77000. Your chance to win $1,000 with your friends at ESPN. and Hail Varsity. Okay, we have Steve Warren coming up. A fantastic player for Nebraska, played at Green Bay, doing bigger, better, and more incredible things with Dream Foundation. Joindream.org is where you can log on and find out about the weekend. We'll catch up with Steve. We'll talk to him about Missouri recruiting, not the Tigers, but recruiting the Show Me State for the state of Nebraska. That is impressive, important, and a major highlight for the Big Red to do. So we'll get caught up with Steve on that. And how he's given back. Andy Janovich, 30 minutes away. Husker standout, Gretna Dragon, and Denver Bronco. So excited to have Jano in with us next hour. He'll be at the locker room 9 to 11 Saturday morning, 56th and Highway 2, Alamo Center in Lincoln. And if you're coming in from western or central Nebraska or eastern Nebraska, wherever you can hear us on the Hail Varsity Network, go say hi to Jano. He will shake your hand, not break it, and sign things for you when you get to the locker room. So that's pretty cool. We'll take caller four right now. Get caught up on who's the latest to get their RSVP for this spring game weekend from the recruiting world. Caller four right now. A six-month online subscription, breaking news, inside info, an amazing community message board for you, a Nebraska fan, or wherever you are in the world. Be a part of Hail Varsity's community. Caller 4 now, 466-3776. 466-3776. A six-month online subscription. That's yours with Hail Varsity right now. 1-800-825-5865. The premium forum online for you. Passionate fans, you want to talk recruiting. Aaron Sorensen, Jake Jensen, Jacob Padilla can get that handled for you. Caller 4 right now. A free six-month online subscription. Yours to HailVarsity.com. 466-3776. 466-3776. Or toll-free 800-825-5865. TJ will take care of you. Caller 4 right now. On the way, Steve Warren. We'll talk football. We'll talk Mick Stoltenberg with him and recruiting the state of Missouri. Andy Janovich, Denver Bronco, and Husker standout. Caller 4 now for that HailVarsity.com subscription. Steve Warren, Hour 2 coming up with Hail Varsity.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We
get
beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, let's welcome in a Blackshirt and a guy that does so much for the community, and it is another Dreams Weekend. Steve Warren is with us on Hail Varsity Radio at Steve underscore Warren 96 at Dream Foundation. Also can find them on Twitter. Steve, great to speak with you again. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I haven't been a black shirt in so long, I almost forgot I was one for a minute.
Oh, come on now. Once in, you never get out, right? It's one of those things, the black shirt?
Blood in, blood out with the black shirts, baby. You know how it goes.
Well, good for you, man. We'll cover a lot of things here. It's another spring game weekend, and you have such a great organization with the Dream Foundation, Steve, also the Warren Academy, also head ball coach at Northwest. When do you sleep? Let me ask you that.
You know what? I try to sleep about once every 2 months.
Okay.
And then, you know, once I get a little 2 or 3 hours in of a nap, and I'm ready to go back at it again.
Well, you're everywhere, and you're doing so much, and you're about investing in the future of youth, and you've done that. And give folks a background of the Dream Foundation, and also we'll get to where folks can see you this weekend. But tell me about it. I know about it. Some of our listeners may be introduced to it for the first time.
So Dream is a nonprofit organization. Our main focuses are after-school programs, mentoring, and also athletics. Most of the kids that we deal with on a regular basis come from lower economic areas or communities. But then we also have programs that we reach all kids and families throughout different economic backgrounds. So our main focus is really just to be out there to expose kids to positive outlets, whether it's through sports education or just being a guide for them through mentoring.
Well, mentoring's so important. The academic side, athletics, it's always fun as a kid to go play something. And did that had an impact on you, I assume, Steve, as a kid, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, athletics for me was it saved my life, basically. You know, if it wouldn't have been for athletics, I wasn't much on school. I was one of those kids that used to always tell, you know, if you don't get your grades, you're not going to be able to play. So without athletics, you know, there's no telling where I would have been. And luckily, later on in life, I figured out the academic side of it and kind of got my stuff together. And so now I'm just trying to use that platform of my experience as a, you know, my high school experiences and my college experiences, then going on to the pro to help these kids that we see now to kind of shift them from that mindset that I had, you know, at a young age to the mindset I have now and later on in life is, you know, let's take care of everything and do everything the right way and be professional about our business.
Steve Warren with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Dream Foundation, Warren Academy, and the head ball coach at Northwest. So, Steve, who changed your mind? I mean, who finally said for the thousandth time, Steve, got to do your work, man, to get on the field? What finally flipped it for you?
You know, my high school coaches did a really good job of staying on top of me. And I was fortunate that I had a group of high school coaches that really cared. And, you know, you run across guys in this profession and, you know, guys that, you know, they'll have kids that you know, that may not try as hard, but they see the potential and they don't put the effort in to try to get those kids to turn the corner. And my high school coaches did a great job of, you know, staying on top of me and making sure that I didn't let potential fall to the wayside, that I was able to go out and fulfill my potential. And then, you know, on top of that, my parents and, you know, I had a brother that was older than myself that went on to play college football, and my sister ran track in college. So seeing their experiences and seeing the things that they did, you know, kind of fueled me also. And then getting to college, you know, it was just being around that culture and that mindset. You know, you didn't want to be the only guy on the team not graduating. Everybody's graduating. Everybody's getting their grades and going on and doing better, bigger and better things. So you just want to be a part of that positive culture when you get to Nebraska.
Steve Warren with us, defensive tackle at Nebraska, played with the Green Bay Packers and, of course, with the Dream Foundation. Steve, a lot of your teammates, a lot of your friends are going to be part of Big Dreams Weekend. Where can folks find you? Tell us about Big Dreams Weekend.
So this year it's a two-day event. So we start Friday, and it's the Bowling to Build Dreams. The kickoff party is also that night now. And that's at the Mark in Elkhorn. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's private from 6 to 7:15 if you haven't sponsored the lane. But then at 7:15, we open up the doors to the public, and they can pay a $5 spectator pass and, you know, meet some of the players that are kind of mingling around and hanging out. And then Saturday we have a tailgate that we're doing with our partners, Blur Parties. And we've done that now for the past 2 years, I believe. And so that's the South Lot, Lot 7. And again, it's a private event, but if you would like to find out information on how you can get a ticket to that private event, you just go to joindream.org and look up Big Dreams Weekend, and all the information for both days are on there. So there's still some spots available for that tailgate, and I believe we might have one or two lanes that opened up today. So, you know, Easter's – I love my Huskers, but them putting the spring game on Easter did some things with the families and people we used to have come back in the day. So, but it's going to be good for them, 66,000 coming.
Well, listen, that conversation just doesn't happen. Honey, I love you, but I'm going to miss Easter ham after Easter service. You don't offer that conversation point, do you?
No, not at all. So Good Friday. You don't have that conversation after you go to Good Friday service and then say, you know, I'll be back.
By the way,
I don't think too many people are doing that.
Well, at Blur Parties, they're great folks. They partner with Hail Varsity, and, you know, Blur's just, it's a great, great event Saturday. So be sure to find out about that. Now, Steve, you've spent a lot of time working with kids in Dream, but you also work with the Warren Academy. That's your academy. And you have a defensive shift this year. You've read about it. You've mm-hmm. seen about it. You follow Nebraska. You're a black shirt. The 3-4, and one of your prized pupils, Mick Stoltenberg, is now at that nose spot. Give me your thoughts on that. And correct me if I'm wrong. When you were in Green Bay, that was still a 4-3 front, wasn't it?
Yeah, I never played in a 3-4 defense. I've always played in a 4-3. We did have a we did that Northwest last year, switched to a 3-4 defense. So I have to say I like the versatility to it, the 3-4 defense and the different things that you can do with it once the kids start figuring it out and the different things that you can do in all kind of packages. You know, it's hard to spread a 3-4 defense out, which is with all these spread teams. You know, that's good. If you got a good nose guard, you got good middle linebackers, you can stuff the run. So I think for Mick, I think it's a perfect shift for him because he's a big, strong dude. Everybody knows his size and his strength. The hardest part for him is going to be his height at that nose position, having to take on those double teams and keeping his pad level down and just trying not to peek over the top of that. And that's the hardest thing for any defensive lineman, though, but particularly those guys that are 6'5", 6'6", because – That knee bend is crucial at that position and that hip and those hips. So if he can get that stuff down, I think he's going to be a great anchor for that defense. They're not going to be able to move him out of the ball too easy if his knees and everything are healthy. So that's what I'm looking for. I want to see if he's healthy. He wasn't quite healthy last year.
Well,
but I'm hoping he's 100% now.
I was going to say, with that size, and that's been a focal point, Diaco's kind of responded to that saying, well, good luck moving him. And with his, you know, his arm length, he's going to be able to fend you off. And I know it's a leverage game. But one thing about Mick, and you saw this from the number of years you worked with him, yeah, he's big and strong and he's an anchor. But the guy's athletic, isn't he? I mean, he's pretty flexible, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got good athleticism. That's one thing that we did have to work on him with was his feet.
Yeah.
Just getting his feet a little bit quicker. And his flexibility, but he's gotten a whole lot better. He's an extremely hardworking kid, so we didn't have any doubts that he was going to be able to, you know, apply those part of the things to his game or not. So it's exciting to see those things happening to him.
Steve Warren with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Dreams Weekend, and you can catch up with Steve. Steve, the website, is it dream.org folks can log on to?
Yeah, so joindream.org is the website that they can get onto. Big Dreams Weekend is the tab that they would click down. They can find out everything about the event.
Great. And you can find Steve on Twitter at Steve_Warren96. Steve, I want to get your thoughts here regarding in-state kids for Nebraska. You work with a number of kids that come see you at the Warren Academy, also coach. But that mindset, kids from your community, as far as, you know, the metro area, and then kids from outside of the metro community that come to the Warren Academy. What's kind of the image in Nebraska right now for in-state kids, the football program, the kids you work with?
You know what? I would say that the image, for most of the kids that I work with, we have 9 or 10 kids on the roster right now in Nebraska.
Yeah.
With the majority of them being walk-ons. And those kids are still the same. Like, they, most kids that we see, they want to get that offer from Nebraska, or they want to get that preferred walk-on offer from Nebraska. So I think that the kids are still optimistic that they can make it down there and still play. I would say that in the past there's been some kids that I don't feel like should have gotten away from here, and we all know that.
Yeah.
But hopefully they'll right that ship. You know, especially on the defensive line and the lineman side of it, there's some good kids around here that can play at that level. They may need a little bit more development than others, but definitely if you put the time into them, they'll have the size and strength to grow into the position.
Steve, you came from Missouri, man, and I can just rattle off the Missouri kids that have impacted Nebraska, specifically on the defensive side, yourself, Grant, of course, Rucker. I mean, there's the years where you guys were bringing home trophies. Missouri had a big part of it. Missouri's a focal point for Nebraska and the SEC, frankly. From folks back home, how's the Nebraska product image, how's that brand doing down in Missouri?
We've got an opportunity right now because Mizzou's kind of fell off the map a little bit, and they're trying to get back on. So people are looking a little bit, you know, towards Nebraska these days. The SEC is starting to come into that area pretty heavy. The Trout kid out of St. Louis, the interesting thing is he's a distant relative of mine.
Really?
So his father and I are always on Facebook and going back and forth, and a lot of his family I grew up with. And at camp this last summer, we just kind of figured that out. His family wasn't here, so I only met him, and we started talking and figured that out. So him being a big, strong deep tackle, I'd love to see him here, and of course, I'd love to get part of that part of my family here. But again, he's a kid that's getting recruited by almost everybody in the nation right now, so there's some competition there. But there's some interest still. I think there's got to be a lot of work that's been done because it's been neglected the past few years. So I wouldn't say Nebraska's a top school in the state, but it's still on a lot of radars.
Is it more kind of out of sight, out of mind with no more Big 12 association, or is it just that Nebraska didn't recruit Missouri as hard?
I think Nebraska didn't recruit Missouri as hard. I don't think the Big 10 or the Big 12 would have mattered as much if they just would have kept recruiting at the same level, but the recruiting dropped off in the state. They did get a few, you know, you got the Davis boys and mm-hmm. a few of the kids out of St. Louis, the receivers and those guys, but there was a few kids that just they didn't get there. But that's also a credit to Mizzou. Mizzou locked down those borders for a number of years. And that was great on Pinkel and their part, is they didn't let a lot of those kids get out of state. So now there's a lot more competition with Lovie Smith in Illinois, and he's getting down in St. Louis and trying to get in those areas. So, and Mizzou being in the SEC, and we all know what the media outside of Nebraska thinks of the SEC. So kids getting that opportunity to play in the SEC is big. You go and start one of those programs, you know, you're pretty much playing in the NFL breeding ground for most of these media outlets is what they're telling us. So,
Steve, lastly, your time at Nebraska, the culture, what was it like walking in as a freshman, man? You didn't redshirt. What was that cultural experience like for you in that Nebraska blackshirt family?
You know, walking in as a freshman at Nebraska, the one thing I remember is just the confidence of everybody on the team. And it wasn't, you know, you can be around programs and you can be around athletes and, you know, there's a false confidence and that's kind of easier to pick up on. But the confidence of the confidence of the team, you know, the way that everybody felt that we were going to perform and just knew we were going to perform, is that's the one thing I kind of always remember, is like there was never any doubt. You know, we didn't go into any games doubting, can we beat this team? It was really, how much are we going to beat these teams by, and are we going to be done by halftime? That was really our mindset. It's like, what are we going to be doing in the third quarter because the game's going to be over? So that was the difference, I think, in the culture now is now Nebraska's trying to get back to, are we a give and win every Saturday? Mm-hmm. Every Saturday, and that was the difference. You know, every Saturday we knew we were going to beat the team across from.
Steve Warren with us, Hail Varsity Radio, @Steve_Warren. Big Dreams Weekend. Be a part of it. And, Steve, we'll catch up. We'll hope to see you Saturday. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Steve Warren with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Steve is just doing great things with the Dream Foundation and great insight on Missouri recruiting. And just think about this. How many guys have gone and been drafted from Mizzou, went to Columbia the last 10 years? I know Alden Smith's kind of nuts. He's had off-the-field issues, but he kind of started the run. Really, Justin Smith started the run back in the late 90s. But the point is Nebraska got who they wanted from the state of Missouri. Now they're trying to dip back in there. And McQuitty, and of course Bryant from last year and this year, but you get that show me state love, man. A lot of great talent down there that Nebraska's targeting for 18 and 19. Eddie Janovich next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. He'll be back with us next week. And you can see Eddie Janovich, where Jay spends a lot of his time at the locker room. Eddie Janovich autographs 9 to 11 Saturday morning before the spring game. So if you're coming in from out of town, locker room's located 56th and Highway 2. And can see the Denver Bronco, the Husker, the Gretna fullback, and Andy Janovich joins us now. Andy, thanks for a few minutes, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, it's good to talk to you again. What's this weekend mean to you? It's spring game. Does it bring back memories?
Yeah, absolutely. Good memories, really. The spring game meant we were down spring ball, which was always one of the best feelings ever.
That's the vibe, man. It's Jay says it, Searle says it. You've kind of said, yeah, spring ball, yeah, we're done, yay.
Yeah.
For those of us that can't hang, why was it such a grind?
Well, I mean, you're just going against your own defense for 4 or 5 weeks straight, and after a while, the defense really just knows what you're going to run before you even run it, and guys just start getting in fights, and you're just wearing on your body. It's all padded practices every day. I mean, it just wears on you, and you get a lot of pent-up aggression towards other guys, and a lot of fights break out. So, I mean, when that's over, it's just a relief.
So were you involved in any? I got to ask that question.
No, I was actually pretty good about it.
That or no one wanted to mess with you?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
There we go. Andy Janovich with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Husker fullback, Denver Bronco fullback. Andy, what was the year like for you, man? You get drafted. The state cheered when you scored that first touchdown for Denver and smiled and were so proud of you, still proud of you. How was the transition into the NFL year one for you?
Besides all the injuries, it was really good. I mean, it's really just focusing on football. That's the best part about it. You don't have a school or anything like that to focus on anymore, so you can just spend all your extra time just football, which is the great part about it. And so that's the one big thing I really enjoyed about it. And I mean, just living out in Denver, it's a really nice place too. I like living out here, and it's not Nebraska, that's for sure, but it's as close as Nebraska I could imagine.
You're not far from it, right?
Yeah.
There you go. So you had injuries. I know you played most of half the year. Did you bust your hand? Is that correct?
Yep, broke my right hand.
You broke your right hand. You still played. And then your ankle, like Thanksgiving night against Kansas City, you still played that game, like 40 snaps. Did you end up breaking your ankle?
No, I didn't break it. I tore the three ligaments on the outside of it, and then there's one on the inside that I tore a little bit. And it was pretty painful.
Yeah, but you still played like 40 snaps, though, with those four ligaments
yeah.
torn, right?
Yeah, I did.
So did you just kind of look yourself in the mirror and said, there's no such thing as pain? How'd you get through it?
I really just thought I was being kind of a sissy, so I was like, all right, well, I should probably just tough it out. And I thought maybe I just had a minor ankle sprain or something like that, and they put a boot on it that day or after the game. Then I came back the next day, got an MRI, and turned out it was actually pretty serious.
So you thought you were being a wuss because you had four torn ligaments, huh?
Yeah. It's just hard to pull yourself out of a game if you can still run a little bit.
Hey, so living in Colorado now, do you prefer the skiing, snowboarding in the winter or the mountain hiking in the summer, or do you like them both equally?
I'm more of a hiker. I have not skied, snowboarded. I have no desire to. I just feel like I'd be like a fish out of water when it came to that, so I have no desire to do that. I've done a lot of hiking with my fiance, actually.
Okay, have you done many 14ers?
No, I don't. I don't get that into it.
Okay, I was just curious.
TJ, those of us that don't exercise, what's a 14er?
14,000 foot elevation.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, those are pretty intense. Hey, are you ever awestruck just having one-on-one conversations with John Elway, or is it just kind of normal now?
He's not around. Well, he's at the facilities every day, but I don't really see him that often. I've only talked to him a few times, but the first time I actually met him, he didn't know who I was. We're in I think it was the equipment room or something like that, and he came up and asked who I was. I was like, well, I feel like that's how the rest of my career is going to be. But no, he's actually a pretty nice guy. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of awe still. I mean, just how great he was here at Denver and everything, and what he's the name he's made for himself, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, other than that, I've only talked to him a handful of times.
So, Jano, when John came up to you, when Mr. Elway came up to you, did you say, well, I'm the dude you tweeted about?
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he tweet about him?
No, I didn't say that. I just said, my name's Ian Janovich. I'm the fullback.
I wonder if somebody's running Elway's Twitter then. I don't know. Maybe.
Andy Janovich with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Andy will be at the locker room 9 to 11 Saturday morning, spring game Saturday morning, an autograph session. And I tell you, the locker room, its new location, 56th and Highway 2, Alamo Center in Lincoln. If you're outside of Lincoln and you're headed here for the spring game, because as of now, 70,000 of you are, and that number is going to keep climbing, go say hi to Andy and get some stuff signed. So, Andy, you have a new coach in Coach Joseph. You have a new offensive coordinator. Has there been any discussion with the team as far as, have you guys had meetings yet? Have you had a chance to meet your new OC, your new head coach? Has any of that happened?
Yeah, we just started having meetings on Tuesday, actually. We're starting to go over the playbook and have meetings on that. We're working out again, so it's good.
Okay, so what's Coach Joseph and Coach McCoy like?
I think they're pretty intense when they're coaching. I guess Coach Joseph hasn't really coached anything yet. He's right. Just kind of sat back and let the offensive and defensive coordinators do their thing. But Coach McCoy, he's pretty intense, and he seems like he's really serious about what's going on. He wants us to learn, and, I mean, he's pushing on us. He's just shoving the playbook down our throats right now. He said, we got a quiz Monday, so you better study over the weekend and all that. And yeah, there's a lot going on right now, but I like it. It's just good to be back in the swing of things.
How about from a role standpoint? I mean, just looking at the numbers, you were in 60% of the special team plays, and you knew that going in. But from an offensive snap standpoint, you were in 30% of the time. A lot of the two-back stuff, obviously, you were lead blocking or you were scoring a touchdown. So with McCoy, is it similar to the old offense? Is it a whole new deal? Is it still West Coast? Can you kind of describe the offense that at least they've told you about so far?
It's kind of tough to say right now because we've only got, I think, 3 days of install in so
gotcha.
Far. And I mean, we're just putting in all the basic stuff. So, I mean, it's really hard to tell from this standpoint.
I'm going to go back for a second. That touchdown run against Carolina, and remember watching it, and you covering up and getting into the end zone. Was that moment vivid at the time, or did you kind of do the old Will Ferrell blackout thing? I mean, how did you soak that in?
I wasn't really thinking about like scoring a touchdown or anything else. First goal was just trying to get a first down so we could move the sticks and get in the end zone eventually. But my worry after that, when I broke the safety's tackle, was just don't get caught. And I for sure thought I was going to get caught from behind. I didn't know who was behind me, and so I covered up. And when I got in the end zone, I just, pretty big relief. I just was tickled to death.
Well, it was pretty awesome to watch. Andy Janovich with us a couple more minutes. Andy, with Nebraska, from a fullback standpoint, moving forward with Coach Riley, what do you see in the fullbacks for Nebraska, not necessarily on the roster, but just in general overview, that positional role with Riley in the offense? Is that something Nebraska can continue to use and thrive offensively with, that position?
Absolutely. I think it's going to be really good for him in the future. I think you got McNitt and Harrison Jordan there still right now. And they're two pretty good fullbacks right now. Then I know he's got Miles coming in, and he's going to just keep recruiting better and better fullbacks. So I think he's just trying to get them a part of the system. It's just going to keep going from there. So I think it's going to be pretty good.
Have you heard much? I mean, I know you know of Ben Miles. You know of his dad less. But have you seen any film, or do you have any awareness about Ben at all? Have you heard much?
No, I haven't seen any of his film. I've never talked to him or anything like that. Everything I've heard is that he's going to be a good player for Nebraska.
Well, Andy, you are a great player for Nebraska, and I want to ask you here before we say goodbye. I guess when you got to Nebraska, your story's been told pretty well by your peers about, you know, the Shrine game and then the way you worked yourself up. What kind of job or responsibility do guys from the state of Nebraska have walking on for the football team? Is there some sort of, for lack of a better term, duty? Do you guys feel that there's something you need to do for the program?
I mean, just because there's so many guys that walk on, they're mainly from Nebraska. I mean, it's a lot of pride. So, I mean, your job is to just go in there, whether you're a scout guy, you're a starter, second string, you got to go in there and just lay it on the line every day. I mean, if you love Nebraska football, that's your job. So, and that's, I mean, you just want to do that. You should want to, otherwise you shouldn't be there. So just go out there and just lay it on the line, no matter what your position is. Everybody's got a role on the team, whether you're a scout team or starter. So, I mean, just do that every day, and it's going to be good, whether you're a starter or scout team guy.
Eddie, you were 99-0 as a wrestler. You won Class B championship at 189 and at 220. I've got about 30 seconds left. Did anyone ever come close to beating you?
Those 2 years, not really. There was a wrestler in Iowa. We had a tournament there. That was, I think it was like 5-2 or 7-2. He ended up being a 3-time state champ in Iowa, but that was the closest match my senior year.
Okay. I would just say he cheated and was overweight, but okay. Could have gone with that. Eddie Janovich at the locker room Saturday morning, 9 to 11, 56 and Highway 2. Go see Jano, get some stuff signed, and say hi to him. Denver Bronco fullback, Gretna Dragon, and, of course, Husker fullback. Eddie, we'll catch up again, man. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Have a good one, man. Take care. Eddie Janovich. Had to get the wrestling question in there. Think about that, man. And I didn't wrestle. I leave that to Uncle Andy. Not Janovich, but Uncle Andy, my brother-in-law. 53-0 at 189. And then he says, screw it, I'm going to go up to 220, and was 46-0. Eddie Janovich is awesome. That was good stuff. And thanks to Mr. Janovich for spending time with us. We'll get you a recruiting update next on Hail Varsity.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Major thanks to Andy Janovich, Denver Bronco fullback, and Husker fullback for joining us. Jano goes at 240, undefeated wrestler. He's broken multiple face masks just for talking to him. I mean, he smacked us around a bit. We need to relax. To do so, we are headed to see Deb, the spa lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. Deb, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Enjoying this beautiful weather. We're out delivering spas every day. This is just, we love this time of year. Everybody's getting out in their backyard. They're cleaning up from the winter. They're putting in decks, pouring concrete for pads, for hot tubs. And we're just getting spas delivered. So we've got a lot of great deals going, as always. And we can get that spa in your backyard in just a few days. Depending upon what you need to do, we can make it happen.
Well, Deb, I tell you what. I mean, it sounds pretty perfect, doesn't it? You're waiting around for that spa you want, any size you need from Home Innovation Spas to be delivered. And these evenings, right? It's perfect. About 60 degrees. It's not.
Oh, I know.
It's not brutal.
It's
getting
perfect.
Out.
No, it's perfect. It really is. And you can adjust the temperature, so you can use a spa year round. And we've got spas. Of course, we've got the big swim spas. We have spas that'll seat 6 to 7 people. We've got the little two-person spas. We have spas that you can just plug into a 110 outlet, fill them up with a garden hose, and you've got a nice, hot, bubbly, warm hot tub.
Deb, I think that sounds like a plan. I mean, we're moving, so I need to come see you because, So, now the wife can't.
I'm going to come over and check out your deck or your backyard.
Absolutely. Now, can I get floaties for my wife?
You can.
Those little wings?
She has whatever she needs. Yes, some water wings or whatever they call them.
Right, yeah. She needs the floaty wings. I need a floating koozie.
Okay, I can do it. I can do it.
There you go. There we go. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. Also a location at omahaspasonline.com. Spring is here. That means it's time to go see Deb and get that hot tub delivered to you. Any size Deb can take care of you. Deb, hours, folks. Maybe they want to come see you before the spring game.
10 to 6 Monday through Friday, 10 to 4 on Saturday.
You're right there. All right. Deb, we'll catch up next week. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. She's going to get wings for the wife. That's awesome.
Not barbecue wings, but floating wings.
No, no. Yeah. Well, think about that. You got your TV set up. You got your spa going. Then you get your wings off to the side next to your grill.
Mm-hmm.
But not to leave.
No.
This is a Seinfeld episode.
This is.
It's kind of like Kramer he turned his apartment into a smoking den.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. I'm hideous.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, for sure.
But just make it a hot tub thing. That'd be cool.
That would be.
That'd be one way to attract all the new neighbors.
Yeah. So
hey,
how about.
You may hate me, but. Come on over and check out my wife in the hot tub.
So how about when I ask Jano if he ever gets starstruck hanging around Elway and Elway doesn't know who he is? Yeah, he tweeted about him.
Yeah. I mean, that was so cool. How many times did that get retweeted in the state of Nebraska?
Oh, a ton.
I just love this football player right here.
Yeah.
And Elway, I think, did. That's totally an Elway Kubiak pick.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect fit.
But I also get it, too. Like, those guys, they don't want to have too great a relationship because, you know, they can easily cut them. And,
sure. Well, no, you can't, but, you can't be boys. You're John frickin' Elway.
Yeah.
And you roll down to the weight room and there's Jano ripped out of his mind. I mean, that positively.
Yeah.
And then, you know, beard.
Yeah.
And I was like, who the hell are you? You know, I didn't say that, but looking this guy up and down, it's like somebody's been in the weight room.
Yeah. Well, he definitely know who he was after that Thursday night Carolina run.
That was really cool.
That was.
That was such an awesome moment. I was stupid. I didn't ask him. I'm going Chris Farley interview with Paul McCartney. Remember that one time? It's not what I meant to do. But it would have been interesting to hear his thought. Bigger roar.
The
Denver
the
touchdown
run.
Or the Wisconsin touchdown.
Yeah.
I loaded up the Wisconsin touchdown. I was going to play that one before we came in, but I didn't tell you.
It's just, man. You wish you could have finished that game off.
Quiet. Quiet. Okay. But no, if you're Janovich, there was a little sadness in his voice there.
Yeah, there was.
Like, yeah, and John only didn't know who he was. Well, you know what you got to do? This comes from good authority. My second-hand John Elway story. Third-hand, actually. Pharmacist Jeff would, back in the 80s, every summer, as they call him, old man, would take the Jeff the Pharmacist family up to see Broncos football, their training camp. And I think Bruncey probably was up there, too. And they both had awful haircuts in the 80s. So Pharmacist Jeff has 4,000 things signed by Elway. Surprise, Pharmacist Jeff doesn't get Elway Christmas cards. That's how many times they've interacted. John doesn't remember. Then there's, Jay Bird, family friend. Not our Jay Bird.
Not our Jay Bird.
But this Jay Bird can talk. He's just a people dude. He's awesome. But he got to hang out with Elway. And this was like the 95 weekend where Nebraska was at Colorado. I think it was... Nebraska smoked them. Really good Colorado team. Frazier, Amon Green, like they put up 40. Smoked them. Killed them. 20. I mean, just destroyed a really, like a top five Colorado team. You know how good the 95 Nebraska team was. Well, Bird, as only he can do, got hooked up with Elway. And to get Elway's attention or make him treat you like part of his inner circle, his nickname's Woody. And Jay Bird's the biggest donkey fan there is, aside from Pharmacist Jeff. They need to meet sometime. So Bird, I think this is college era Jay Bird, rolls up to Elway in a bar in Boulder. And this is pre-Black Friday, so it was a weekend game. And he's like, Mr. Elway, hey, you're a good dude. I love watching you. I've been a lifelong donkey fan. Can I buy you a Coors? He's like, call me Woody. And I make more money than you. So I'm buying the beer. You're drinking the beer. So that's my secondhand John Elway story. So next time Jano sees Elway and he doesn't remember him, just call Elway Woody.
Woody.
It's like, oh, damn, I was at the bar with this guy and I forgot his name. Hey, what's up? What can I get you? That's how you work the Elway thing. You make the relationship better.
Yeah. That's a good story. I like that one.
I told it half as well as my other Jay Bird does.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he tells that at every party he's at.
But it's so cool.
It is. It is.
It's the coolest thing having a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback say, and he's not being, I make more money than you. Get this caviar. No, he's like, bro, I'm buying, you're drinking. Thanks for the genuine offer. Elway kind of seems like that type of guy.
Oh, for sure.
Every time, you know, Elway's just kind of a regular dude with a lot of car dealerships. Still doesn't like Terry Bradshaw. Snot-nosed California punk. Oh, then I wait in Marino. 30 for 30 is good. All right, I will promise you, recruiting update, practice report, if it's done in time, shortly. Thanks for playing. Hope you're well. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Good times today, and thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Steve Warren, Dream Foundation, and for taking time to talk. Well, recruiting the state of Missouri and Mick Stoltenberg, who he worked with exclusively in high school, that nose guard spot. How about Andy Janovich, Denver Bronco fullback, Husker fullback? He'll be at the locker room Saturday 9 to 11, 56th and Highway 2. Just talking his first year in Denver and what it means to be a walk-on. Lars Anderson is phenomenal. Bleacher Report, native Lincolnite. Lars did a story on Sudanese refugees, many families in the late 90s coming to Omaha, coming to the state of Nebraska, fleeing civil war, and they have found kind of safe haven with basketball. And you know the who's who of in-state prospects out of the metro area. If you follow high school hoops, a lot of Sudanese backgrounds that are just extremely talented players. Well, a long time ago, they got busy on a basketball court and stayed out of trouble by doing so with a lot of single-parent family homes and moms working and dads working. Basketball kind of saved them. Lars tells that story in his latest story on Bleacher Report, so we spent about 15 minutes with Lars Anderson. You miss any part of Hail Varsity Radio, as always, can log on hailvarsity.com and get the podcast and can subscribe to it on iTunes. Can go to the ESPN 1480 app and get that pretty easily as well. Other ways to get it I'm not aware of, but I think you can. But appreciate all of you who download it and subscribe to it. Teach busy one tomorrow as Aaron Sorensen will get us locked and loaded with your complete recruiting list, about 50 2018-2019 prospects will be here Saturday. Some are already here at practice tonight. That is impressive. Defensive and offensive side of the ball, a lot of wideouts, a lot of defensive backs. And, of course, St. Louis, a target area. Steve Warren talked with us about that. So Aaron Sorensen tomorrow, Bill Dolman tomorrow, Brandon Vogel tomorrow, and Klausburn will give you a spring game prediction. And a reminder, if you want to get caught up with the visit list, the hot reads, the message boards, the premium content, 30-day free trial offer if you sign up for HailVarsity.com right now. And we'll give you another chance to win a six-month subscription tomorrow. So a good day today, busy one tomorrow. Spring football is winding down, but it sounds like things went well in practice tonight. And the guys will gear up and get ready to put on a show on Saturday. What's the first time you went to a spring game? What year? Do you remember?
I was like 8 or 9, and I remember my grandpa and Ron Brown were doing the halftime drug-free pledge. But I was too nervous to go down there, so I stayed up in the suite.
Okay.
So
I stayed up in the suite. It would have probably been late 90s, or they were probably brand new.
Yeah, that was late 90s, early 2000s, yeah.
I've crashed a couple of suite parties at spring games the last 3 years.
There you go.
That was Junior's first time ever. Memorial Stadium, old Johnny Baylor had a suite. He was like, hey, John, can I bring Junior and drive him off? Sure! That's a bad John Baylor impression. I love him. All right, we will talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thanks for your time. Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.